Everyone's favorite time of the year is right around the corner, college football season. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new players in the center of the action with $200 in free bets instantly if you bet $1 or more on any college football game. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any college football game, no matter what. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all of the great promotions and daily odds boost that they are offering. DraftKings Sportsbook is safe, secure, and reliable, located right here in the United States, so it's easy to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Spurscast, episode 624. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the Spurscast. Today I'll be joined by Project Spurs founder Michael DeLeon. In this episode, Mike and I will discuss the Spurs' official roster moves that have been made, moves to come, and we'll review the Spurs' start in the Las Vegas Summer League. Let's go ahead and get started. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I feel good. I'm healthy. Not only that, but I'm going to watch some Summer League games, and then, like, NFL football is coming back, so it's a good time of year for me.
I saw that. I saw that the was it the Cowboys or somebody had a preseason game, and then I saw that you were tweeting about the Hard Knocks, right? That was yesterday.
So yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, so yeah, so you know, Summer League's about to wrap up here. It's going to be a short one. You know, I think there's only five games for each of the teams, and then of course, you know, like you said, you got football to watch there, so that'll be cool. All right, so Spurscast listeners, this is actually going to be a shorter episode than we've been recording. I know that we've been really focusing on free agency, but now we're kind of getting into the mode where we're just waiting for some official signings to go through, and then the roster's pretty much almost set. I mean, there's going to probably be some moves down the road, but for now, it looks like this roster's kind of set for now. So we're going to dive into the latest on free agency with the Spurs. And then we'll go ahead and visit Summer League, how they've been playing in the Las Vegas Summer League. All right, Mike, let's jump into the latest news. There have been finally some official deals. Now, I know that the moratorium lifted last week, and the Spurs really didn't actually make any official moves. It took quite a few days. But the first one came this past week. They actually finally signed Doug McDermott to his three-year, $42 million deal. Now, this one was different because originally it looked like the Spurs were just going to sign McDermott with cap space. However, after a few days went by, it turns out that they actually agreed to a sign-and-trade deal with the Indiana Pacers to get McDermott to San Antonio. So the way this works is the Spurs are getting a protected 2023 second round pick from the Pacers, and also a pick swap for a 2026 second round pick also from Indiana. On the other end, Indiana gets a protected 2023 second round pick from San Antonio. And so really, when we say protected on those 2023 picks, it means that, you know, as long as it doesn't go 31-55 in the second round, you know, those teams get to keep those picks. So they're pretty much probably going to keep the picks. And then just today, you and I are recording this on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The Spurs and Bulls finally completed the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade. In this deal, it's kind of where we originally saw it in the reporting. The Spurs get Thaddeus Young, Al Farouq Aminu, a future first, most likely the 2025 first from Chicago, a 2022 second round pick, and a 2025 second round pick, and then all the Bulls get is DeMar DeRozan. So I know that's a lot of information. Just what are some of your thoughts on the Spurs finally completing these two deals?
Yeah, so I mean, okay, well, first the McDermott signing, that's a rich contract. Like that was a little more than I was expecting. But the fact they were included in a sign trade, I guess, kind of helps things a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely McDermott's, like, biggest contract to date so far. But, I mean, what he did, especially the last 2 years, I think, the last 2 years in Indiana kind of showed kind of what he was capable of. And with the team that struggled so much like the Spurs did on, you know, from the three last season, I think, I mean, going out and targeting him was kind of a clear sign that they really want to, you know, fix that issue. I mean, not only that, but he's a guy with some sneaky athleticism as well. And so I liked it. I've always been a fan of him since he came out of college. And so I thought that was a nice signing. Like I said, a little more than I expected, but that's the way it happens. The DeRozan thing, I know a lot of people have been kind of upset about that. I'm just like, they got something for nothing. Basically, could have been nothing. He could have just signed, you know, a free agent contract and walked away. And this way, they get some tradable assets, some future picks. I'm not too averse to, like, having Thaddeus Young stick around and seeing what he can do, kind of in a Rudy Gay type of role. But I know that, you know, that's probably somebody that's got a little bit more trade value than maybe Aminu or some of the other guys. So I like that they were able to make something happen there. I think that just shows that they're, you know, they see that they have got to do some things with this roster, and so they're trying to stack some assets here. And you know, I like that. If you're going to lose a player like that, then it's nice to get something back in return that you can hopefully eventually turn into something else.
Yeah, you know, when you listen to national media, you know, they see that DeRozan sign a trade as a win for the Spurs. Now, I know, you know, in the short term, it doesn't look so good for San Antonio, because you know they could have maybe had somebody like Lauri Markkanen. But I mean, in the long term, I mean, that's a big move to get a first round pick for a player who was going to leave your organization in DeRozan. So again, to get a future first was a big win for the Spurs. And again, the Young and Aminu are both on expiring contracts, and like you mentioned, Mike, you know, they're probably going to get flipped during the season, you know, before the trade deadline, because you know, playoff teams will want either of those two players most likely. So again, you know, those are the official moves that have gone down for San Antonio. Now, I know that it took quite a few days. Now let's look at some of the moves kind of still waiting to happen, and you know, those will come out pretty soon here. The first one is, you know, now that these moves for McDermott and DeRozan have been completed, or Young and Aminu, should I say, the Spurs have $7.2 million in cap space, according to our cap sheets. And so that means they probably have that $7 million in annual salary to offer Zach Collins. So he may be the next player who gets signed officially with San Antonio. He reportedly was going to sign for a three-year, $22 million deal. From there, they're probably going to sign Josh Primo, because he still hasn't signed his rookie contract. But, you know, his amount is already on the books because it is a rookie-scale contract. After that, they'll probably sign Bryn Forbes. And we don't know, again, how much Forbes is getting, but it's probably going to be part or all of the room exception, which is about $4.9 million. And then, of course, they got to sign Jock Landale as well. And again, we don't know how much he's going to get paid, but it's most likely the veteran minimum or maybe part of that room exception. So just kind of where we were last week when Colin and I recorded last week, the Spurs are still going to have 17 players on the roster by the time, you know, all these moves go official. And they're still going to have to waive at least two players or trade two players before opening night in mid-October. So, Mike, did you have any thoughts there?
Yeah, the Zach Collins one I think is interesting because it's a risk, you know, and so the Spurs are showing that they can take, you know, that they're willing to take some risk on guys, and he's had two, you know, injury-riddled seasons, and so I think they're going based off of, you know, what he last showed in Portland, and, you know, I think his last season there, he's only, what, like, played, like, 11 games before that.
Yeah.
He showed some potential, you know, in very limited minutes. He had, like, plus 7 points in like 4 rebounds a game. I think that they liked what they saw from him, and he was a little more versatile at the position, but it's definitely one you really don't know what you're getting, because you don't know, one, you know, what his situation is as far as injury, and two, like, is he going to need a year to recover? I mean, is he going to need, how much time is it going to take for him to get back to where he was on that growth, you know, trajectory, I guess, that he was on? So we'll see how that works out. You know, Primo, I think we've seen a lot of him. He was picked in the first round. He's going to sign that contract. That was what Kenny's over. The Forbes thing, I know a lot of people are kind of upset about, but to me, it's just like, I think as long as his role is a little different from when he was here last and he's starting and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't mind having a guy that knows their system, knows the coaches, and that, again, is another guy that can knock down some shots, right? I mean, if you're not asking him to be a creator or defender, and you're just asking him to come in and hit some outside shots, then he's definitely fit for that role. So I wasn't so against that as much as a lot of people were. And, you know, they're not paying, they're obviously not going to pay a whole lot. Even at 4.9, if he gets that whole room exception, that's not a lot. And it's somebody that can maybe jump into that Patty role that can, you know, as a shooter. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I mean, obviously, the only thing about it is that you got a lot of guards on the roster now. This roster just packed already, overloaded right now. So it's not. But I was fine with it.
Okay. Yeah. And again, like, they're going to have to make a roster crunch at some point. And as Colin Reed and I discussed last week, they still got to make a determination coming up soon here in 8 days on Drew Eubanks' non-guaranteed deal. He has an expiration. I mean, not an expiration, but a deadline deal of August 19th, so they have to make a determination with Eubanks. But then even if Eubanks were waived, they still have to, you know, either waive a player or trade a player in order to have enough roster spots to take into the opening of the season. So again, we'll see what the Spurs do, but there will be some moves, you know, still having to be made down the road here, even after all these official signings and trades go through. All right, so now let's just quickly go through the Las Vegas Summer League start for the Spurs. So they've already played two games in the Vegas Summer League. They're still winless when we go back to all the way to the Utah Summer League, because they went 0-3 in Utah, and then now in Vegas they've gone 0-2. You know, they lost a close game on Monday against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then against Chicago they played on Tuesday. This was one the Spurs should have won. They were up by 22 at one point, but then Chicago came back. So let's just focus on four players specifically. I want to focus on Devin Vassell and Trey Jones because they're already on the roster. Josh Primo as well, because we know that he's going to be coming onto the roster as well as a rookie this year. And then Joe Wieskamp, because he could be on the roster, or he's probably going to be on a two-way contract. So let's first begin, Mike, with Devin Vassell, how he's played in these last two games in Vegas. Okay, so on Monday against Minnesota, he comes out with 23 points on 16 shot attempts, 8 free throws. That's a big one right there, that he got himself to the free throw line. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 turnovers in 29 minutes. You know, he got going late in this one because, you know, now all of a sudden Trey Jones was back in the lineup, so he had the ball in his hands more so, and so Devin was more so like a second or third option in the offense initially to get it started, whereas in Utah, he was kind of one of the main ball handlers. So again, as I noted here, he didn't get as much run, you know, using the pick and roll as he had been doing in the Utah series before that. And then against Chicago on Tuesday, he actually left in the first half. He only played about 7 minutes. He ended up having a right hamstring tightness. The Spurs rolled him out for the rest of the game, and then coach Mitch Johnson said after the game that that injury first started bothering him the night before on Monday. So Mike, what have been some of your thoughts on Devin's play in these last two games?
I mean, Devin has looked good, I thought. You know, I mean, I think that you know, he's showing a little more progression to his game. I don't think you're gonna see a lot more of him. I don't think they really have to. I think they kind of want to give him some run, let him get out there, conditioning, things like that. But I mean, he played a lot. I mean, you know, when you think about like Spurs rookies and time they spent in Austin, he didn't spend a lot of time in Austin. He actually stayed with San Antonio, and he was able to get some minutes here and there. So I think we all kind of saw, you know, what was there and the potential he has. And it's, you know, as long as he continues to grow from there, I think that's good. I mean, I would like to see him with the ball in his hand a little bit more, and maybe see him, you know, playing some. It's kind of like what they did with Primo, is they made him look like a ball handler, just trying to see, you know, what they can do with him a little bit more, and then see what he can do, you know, with the offense. But nothing's really surprised me. I think that he's his level. He's, you know, I don't think he really even needs to, like I said, even if there wasn't any like injury or issue or any kind of scare or anything, I don't think he really needs to stay to play anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, just, you know, I think that they will be, you know, very, very cautious with him. You know, if I don't think there's a good chance he probably doesn't even come back into these last three Summer League games that are left. And, you know, this is more of a selfish reason, but I'm with you kind of like we're like, it's like if you're not letting him out, having him out there to run like just a lot of pick and rolls, like it was really cool to see him be the main ball handler in like two of those games in Utah, just to see him run pick and roll over and over and over, or do like isolation sets, just to see what he can do, because he's not going to get many of those opportunities when, you know, the full squad is back in the regular season. season. And so, yeah, you know, if they're not going to have him do that and he's instead going to be like, you know, second or third option in the offense and kind of creating late in the shot clock, well, then, you know, I maybe just sit him out at this point, because you can see even when he does that kind of a role, he still ends up with 23 points on 16 shot attempts. So, you know, we'll see if Devin comes back for those last few summer league games that are left after dealing with that right hamstring tightness. Let's move on to Trey Jones. He made his summer league debut, you know, after he had to sit out the Utah series with a concussion protocols. So against Minnesota on Monday, he scored 16 points on 14 shot attempts. He's actually been taking some threes. He went 1 of 3 from outside in that game. He grabbed 3 rebounds, had 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 turnovers in 26 minutes. Then against Chicago on Tuesday, he ends up with 23 points on 19 shot attempts. He also goes 1 from 3 again, so again, continued to take the 3-ball very slowly, but at least he's adding it to his game. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers in 29 minutes. He did say after the Monday game that, you know, he was a bit rusty because he hadn't played basketball about a week and a half. He says that he got that concussion, got put in those protocols from the last practice before they left to Utah, that I guess he got injured in that practice, and that's why they had to put him in concussion protocols. And then, like I mentioned about him shooting the three a little bit more, he did say that he wants to continue to work on that shot and add it to his game, in actual game modes. And then, we just know what Trey Jones does. He runs the offense very well for the team. He's shown some aggression as well, you know, driving against the defense, especially in the half court out of the pick and roll, or just trying to break down the defense. So, what have you seen, Mike, from Trey Jones?
Yeah, at one point I remember it seemed like he was struggling because he had some tough defense on him, but. What I've seen from him pretty much kind of is what I saw from him in the G League this last season, and the way he was able to kind of stand out there. And one of the things I liked with him being there and being there with Lucas Monach a lot is they were able to kind of have this like on-court chemistry, and I think that's something that he'll need to develop with the Devin Vassell, and I think we'd see a little bit more of them, maybe even switching roles and things like that. Because obviously he likes to shoot the ball too, so he's not just going to be a creator first, but he definitely has a good handle on the offense. That's what I saw a lot in Austin, and I think that he might try to make a case for himself to get some minutes as a backup at ball handler. I mean, obviously he'll have Lonnie Walker there, probably trying to take some minutes in that kind of role as well, so it's going to be tough. It'll be probably a fun camp to have those guys go at each other, but it's just more of what I saw and I liked seeing in G League level.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to give Trevor Zickraff, one of our former writers, Project Spurs, some credit here. He had tweeted that, if you just put Trey Jones with a bunch of shooters around, like kind of what we saw in that Chicago game at the Summer League, where he had like Malik Newman on his side, and then he had some other shooters by him. They didn't make all the shots, but still, Trey's such a good point guard. Even Mitch Johnson, the coach, calls him like a quarterback in the offense. And so he's really good about just finding good shooters in their best spots and giving them those opportunities to try to, get as many points from beyond the arc. So again, that'd be interesting to see him with the second unit of like Bryn Forbes and Lonnie, like you mentioned, and then different other players, out there flanking him as well. So again, we'll see what Trey Jones does if when he continues to play, and even if he continues to play in these summer league games with the numbers that he's putting up. All right, now let's move on to Josh Primo. He only played in one of these games in Vegas. He played against Minnesota on Monday. He ends up with 8 points on 11 shot attempts, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 4 turnovers in 27 minutes. You know, with Trey Jones back as well for Primo, well, then this meant that he had to be more of an off the ball player. So he was more so, he played like the shooting guard / small forward role for the Spurs in that game Monday. He did show the ability to knock down some spot up shots, 3-point shots, because we saw, he had to take a lot of ISO kind of, crossover into jumpers when he was playing against Utah, since he had the ball in his hands the majority of the night. But in this one, he had to be, like I said, more off the ball. And then on Tuesday, he didn't play against Chicago because Mitch Johnson said that, it was a coach's decision. It seemed like it was more so for rest. He had played 4 games in 7 nights, according to NBA TV. And then, it almost made it seem like, according to Mitch Johnson, that, he was pretty much, they set him out maybe for some undisclosed type of injury. So what have been your thoughts on Josh Primo?
Yeah, I mean, he's been kind of up and down a little bit, but he's young, and I like that they have tried him out as a ball handler, because that's definitely not his natural position. I mean, he's a big dude. Mm-hmm. He's 6'6", and he's used to being a kind of like a spot-up type of guy and off the ball, and so I like that they're trying to get him to play, you know, or to learn a little bit more in a ball handling role, and I think that'll just help him overall, and that'll help him probably understand the offense and where he can fit in a lot more. But you know, he's got to clean up the handle a little bit. It seems like it just depends. Like when he tries to force it a little bit too much, or I think you and I were talking about this. Like in the half court, it's different from like when he's like on a fast break or something like that. It seems like when he's on a fast break, he can handle a little bit more, but. You know, the thing is, it's like I said, he's young. He's 18, so he could still grow. I mean, I know he's probably going to get stronger for sure, add muscle with having the strength and conditioning program, but he could also still, you know, grow and, you know, get up to 6'7", or I remember Paul George had, like, a growth spurt early on in his career, and so we could still see that. So having, you know, seeing him get a chance to do some different things, and if he can add those tools and, you know, be able to play multiple positions, that'll be nice for him. I mean, I think a lot of the early reaction to him was a little overboard, just for being that early. But, it, you know, definitely somebody to look out for. You can definitely shoot the ball.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, we'll see, you know, if Primo comes back, you know, after basically sitting out due to coach's decision, which is probably more so for rest. And again, the Spurs have a few more games left. And then the last player that we want to focus on here is Joe Wieskamp, their second-round pick in the 2021 draft. On Monday against Minnesota, he had his fewest minutes, I think, of the Summer League so far in all these games, including the Utah one. He scores 3 points on one shot attempt, 3 rebounds, 1 turnover in 16 minutes. He did come off the bench in this one. So, again, he didn't have a lot of minutes, and also had a more limited role. Then against Chicago, with Devin Vassell going down due to injury, well, then Wieskamp got a lot more minutes. He ends up playing, I mean, he ends up scoring 11 points on 9 shot attempts. He shoots 2 of 7 from outside. 5 rebounds he collects, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover, and all that in 26 minutes. You know, some things that I've kind of noted in these last two games, it's, you know, still struggling a little bit. He is to kind of get open off the ball, you know, trying to basically lose his defender and get a good quality shot, getting open, you know, to receive the pass there. And then also, but he has shown the flashes of like being a good shooter when he can get the ball in his hands and he's open. He's able to knock down that shot pretty clean when the opportunity is presented to him. So what have you noticed about Wieskamp?
Yeah, this is, I think, something you and I have talked about before with him also. Is he's definitely struggled some, but I think it's just a lot different than some of, like, everybody out there is trying to compete for a job. You're not going to get the benefit of being out there with, like, 3 better players or 4 and people that are going to, like, sag off of you to go double somebody a lot of times. It's like, so he's going to get some pretty solid one-on-one defense. And so a lot of times, like in college, things like that, he'd find himself open in, on the corners and things like that and be able to knock that down. That'll probably eventually come, you know, once he plays in G League and be able to, right now, it's a lot different. So right now, it seems like he's almost what I saw a lot is that he would set up in the corners and he wouldn't get the passes to him. They'd go in another direction entirely. So he started to be more aggressive and try to come up for the ball and then try to use screens and things like that. That's really not a big part of his game for him to be shooting off of the, handling the ball at the same time, nothing like that. And so it's going to take time. I think that, you know, the one thing is don't overreact. I mean, George Hill, I remember when he came out in his first 3 games, he couldn't hit anything. Yeah. And then after that, I mean, he could clean up. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's a transition. And, you know, hopefully he'll get a lot of run, you know, in the G League. And you know, he'll get adjusted and probably work on his strength a little bit too. And so that'll help him with some of those defenders. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of him. We know he can shoot the ball because of his college career. So it'll come eventually, I think.
Yeah, and you know, just where things are headed right now because of the limited roster space, he most likely does look like he's headed for the G League with a two-way type of deal. Now, again, that hasn't been reported yet. That hasn't been, you know, he hasn't signed that kind of deal. But again, that's just the way the roster's shaking out. That's kind of the most likely path for Wieskamp there. So again, the Spurs have a few more games here in Vegas. It's a shorter summer league, and then they'll be done. And then, you know, pretty much the offseason kicks into full gear until training camp opens in September. All right, so Spurscast listeners, thank you again for listening to this episode. Don't forget to visit Project Spurs. If you have a chance. We're continuing to cover free agency. We're still waiting on a few more moves, like we mentioned earlier, to become official. We're also watching to see, you know, what changes do the Spurs make with their roster to get it down this offseason before opening night, down to 15 players. We'll continue to cover Summer League. We have different writers, you know, recapping games and providing their analysis. And then also Benjamin Bornstein has his latest piece called What Spurs Fans Can Expect from the Newly Acquired Chandler Hutchinson. So Ben kind of Chandler Hutchinson was a player that Ben had basically scouted back when he was coming into the draft, and so Ben thought he would be a good fit for the Spurs, and now all of a sudden, you know, years later, the Spurs do trade for him and acquire him from the Washington Wizards. All right, so thanks again to Mike for joining me here on the SpursCast and for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.